The title of the sermon today is actually Running Full on Empty. Running Full on Empty, and the text we're using, actually we're reading the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'm going to begin with the last part of chapter 20, verse 30, John 20, verse 30, and then read through the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Let us hear the Word of God. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And these things Jesus manifested Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and He manifested Himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to Him, "I'm going fishing." They said to Him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they answered Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." And they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripping for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, or the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question Him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore, this saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. And may God add His blessing as we conclude here the reading of His holy word, especially as we read it in the Gospel of John. In 2005, I was invited to my 40th high school year reunion. The class of 65. And that's 1965, not 1865. I told my wife I was not sure I wanted to go, and she asked me why. And I responded, I'm not sure I want to be around all those old people. Lately, I've been more aware of growing old and dying. I've been around a lot of death. I saw a couple at the mall last week. I hadn't seen them in 10 or 15 years, a very prominent Christian couple in the Kingsport area. As I watched them at their age, walking so slowly, I thought this could be their last trip to the mall. I watched my mother-in-law begin to die 10 years ago with Alzheimer's disease. I preached her funeral on March the 15th. I have another funeral this week. I had a funeral a couple weeks ago. I was talking to a Pentecostal preacher at my mother's funeral who came up to me afterwards and said, Pastor Ball, I preached 7 funerals this month. And I thought, well, that's far beyond anything I've ever done. I can't think about death all the time. It can become discouraging. In our text, Jesus tells Peter something about his death. In verse 18 and 19, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now, most commentators see this as a reference to the crucifixion of Peter, because Jesus follows that in verse 19 by saying he was signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And it is recorded by church historians that Peter was crucified upside down, his feet in the air and his head toward the ground. But I'm not so sure that that's all Jesus was referring to here. I think Jesus also was making some reference to the description of Peter as he would grow old and helpless. When you were young, Peter, you were full of strength. You could go wherever you wished. You could get up and go outside and set a destination and go there and come back, and nobody had to help you. But as you grow older, you have to depend on others. And you will have to depend on others. You will be weak. You will go where they go. You will go where they tell you to go. There will be no freedom of choice. Life kind of goes in a circle. We are born as infants into the world. We are very dependent on others. We grow to full stride and we are very independent and we can do what we wish. And then we grow old and we sometimes become confined to a wheelchair or a bed and we can no longer go where we wish to go. There was a movie my wife and I went to watch not long ago called The Bucket List. Two old men who had met each other in the cancer unit of the hospital, the terminal cancer unit. They both had from 6 months to a year to live. They both had to face radiation and chemotherapy and sickness. And one of the men on one day after a terrible sickness said to him, "There's some lucky man somewhere in the world who's having a heart attack today." In other words, he won't have to suffer years of weakness and old age. Our body engines begin to run on empty. And Solomon spoke of this in the book of Ecclesiastes about the difficulties of growing old and not being able to hear, and even what we can hear, the noise becomes aggravating. Losing our sight and losing our strength. And he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth when you've got strength, because the days will come upon you when you have no longer any more strength. None of us want to linger and suffer in this life before we die. We don't want to be a burden to our children. Some of us are tempted to take all the medications we take and throw them away, hoping that death will take us quickly. That we will not die of Alzheimer's or something like that. But we don't control that. We don't control how we die or when we die. Only God knows that. But here in our text, Jesus hinted to Peter that you will grow old and you will grow weak. And some see here an allusion to his final execution. And Peter asked about John, as we might expect Peter to do in verse 21. So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man? How's he going to die? I'm going to die weak and slow and finally executed. What about John?" And then there was some confusion. You know, there's always confusion. Jesus said that I want him to remain until I come. And word got out that John was not going to die at all. That was how it was interpreted. Therefore, verse 23, this saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, that what is that to you?" He really rebukes Peter and says, "Peter, I've told you about your death. That's all you need to know. The revealed things belong to us, but the secret things belong to God. God has a day and a time and an hour for each of us to die. And if you had a calendar that reaches 30, 40, 50, 80, 100 years in the future, the day you die would be on that calendar. The exact moment would be on that calendar. Only God knows." But he does tell Peter something of his death. And I think the point is, we don't have to know when, where, and how we are to die. What we have to realize is that when we run out of strength, Christ will be there to uphold us. And I think that's what he's trying to tell Peter here. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." When we do get old, we become old, if that's God's will in our life, and we become weak, and we become dependent, and we can't go any longer where we want. The outer man is decaying. If we have the Spirit of God, we can be full of life. We can be full of life, even though we're dying. You see, when we are empty, we can be full. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "When I am weak, then I am strong." when we have nothing left in this world, we can have everything. Old age and death may kill the body, but it cannot kill the spirit. Only when we realize we have nothing, that we are nothing, that we are helpless, can we be filled with the Spirit of God. Can we have true, everlasting life in its fullness? Now, the reason I say that about this particular part of the passage is because of what goes on before. These incidents do not happen separately if there is no connection. I believe that the two incidents recorded in John 21 leading up to Jesus' statement about Peter's death teach us the same thing that he was trying to tell Peter. When you're empty, you're ready to be filled. You can run full on empty. First of all, the first incident. After Jesus' second visit with his disciples, he told them that he would meet them in Galilee. And so we find them in verse 1 at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. We find in verse 3 that Simon Peter, typical of Simon Peter, Simon does not like to wait. I've got a son-in-law like that. He's fidgety. He doesn't like to wait. And Simon says, I'm going fishing. I'm not sitting here and waiting on Jesus to come. I'm going to be busy while we're waiting. I can't just sit here. So he says, I'm going fishing. And everyone else said, well, we'll go fishing too. And the Bible tells us they fished all night. And they came up empty. Not one fish. And these are professional fishermen. They know the waters, they know the temperature of the waters, they know the way the wind blows, they know the hour and the time of the day. They know how to catch fish. But they come up with nothing. They're running on empty. Jesus appeared in verse 4 and 5. Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And so Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? And they answered him, no. Their nets were empty. But what happens? Jesus says, cast your nets on the right side of the boat. And they cast their nets on the right side of the boat. And all of a sudden, the net is full of fish. 153 to be exact. They counted them. Large fish. Now what's the point here? The point is, without the grace of God, you come up empty. We're losers. When we're down to nothing, Jesus steps in with His Spirit and gives us hope and fills us up. Now that's what happened here. You see, they go from nothing to everything. And that's the point. That's the point of the whole chapter, I think. You go from nothing to everything. Peter, you were born as a child. You were a man of strength, but you're going to end up as a man of weakness. That's how you will die. Great men realize that apart from the grace of God, they are nothing. Fishermen learned the lesson. Professional fishermen who could not catch one fish all night long. When the sun comes up, there's not a fish to be seen anywhere. They have nothing until Jesus comes and He fills their net. nothing to something to everything. And the second incident, likewise, I think points out the same truth. Where a man running on empty, Jesus fills his heart with hope. And that's the incident with Simon Peter. Remember the critical point. At the critical point in the trial of Christ, Simon Peter denied Christ 3 times. And I don't know what was in Peter's mind here, but he may have remembered. He may have in the back of his mind. Even though he jumped out of the boat and swam to the shore, he may have had in the back of his mind what he had done and what he really was. A betrayer, nothing. Wondering if Jesus would even receive him. And so Jesus brings it to his memory in a very unusual way by addressing him 3 times about his love for him. Now notice he does not use the term Peter here. Some commentators like to think that is important. He calls him Simon. Now he's changed his name to Peter, but we're going back to Simon. We're going back to the days when you were nothing. Simon, son of Jonas. Not Peter the rock. Not the man of strength. But the man who was nothing. Do you love me? And so he asked him 3 times. And he told him, tend my sheep. 3 times. And I think what Jesus was teaching Peter there, you know what, Peter? You were nothing. You were worse than nothing. You betrayed me. You were the old Simon, son of Jonas. You weren't Peter the rock. But I will put my spirit within you. I will forgive you and you will be filled. You've been running on empty, Peter. But I will fill you with my spirit. And you will nurture my sheep. You will tend to them and you will feed them the Word of God. You will follow me. Second illustration. Jesus can take a nothing, a loser, a failure, a betrayer, and forgive him and fill him with the Spirit of God. Just like he can take empty nets and make them overflow with fish, he can take a loser like Peter and fill him with his Spirit. And when you die and become weak and can't go where you want to go and people have to carry you where you want to go, and age creeps upon you, someone else must hold you up and move you place to place and take care of you. Remember the principle about the fish. Remember God took nothing and filled it full. Remember, Simon, when you denied me 3 times, and now you are being called to fish after men. Now you're being called to feed my sheep. Because I'm the God who can take nothing and make something out of it. You will die a weak man. But I will take the empty net and I will take the hopeless heart and I will fill it with my Spirit. So even though you're empty, you'll run on full. Peter, you're going to die the hard way. No quick heart attack, no sudden death, no falling asleep like Moses, no aneurysm, and you're gone in a second. No strength till the day you die. You're going to live and gradually become weak. And then you're going to die the death of an execution. But learn the lesson about the fish. God can take emptiness and weakness and fill the net. God can take a denier, a betrayer, and make him into a disciple. God can take a Simon of Jonas and make him into a Peter. As a matter of fact, that's the what God likes to do. You see, even the greatest, the best in the Christian life, sometimes get down to empty. Sometimes they get low. Sometimes they fish all night and catch no fish. Sometimes they live by the rules, but they're still broken. Sometimes we live old and become dependent upon others. But I think there's a connection between all three incidents here. God will fill the net. God will fill the heart. And God will fill you with His Spirit, even when you become weak. Even when you're empty, God will fill you up. And even when you are weak, you will be strong. There's a connection. Why did Jesus providentially fill the nets of those who had no fish? Why did Jesus tell Simon, son of Jonas, "Do you love me?" Why does Jesus tell Peter, "You want to die slow and a hard death?" I think He was teaching him, out of nothing comes something. When we're empty, then God fills our nets. When you've denied me, God forgives you and God can use you. Peter said, "Consider it all joy," in 1 Peter, "my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Sometimes we all find ourselves with empty nets. Sometimes we all find ourselves speaking to Jesus and feeling really bad about ourselves. And someday, some of us will live long enough that we may die a slow and difficult death. But Jesus was telling Peter, "Look, I can take the empty net and fill it full of fish. I can take a rebellious heart and make him a disciple. And I can take a man who will be weak and not able to go in strength like he used to. When his body is dying, I can fill him with life, my Spirit." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the examples we have here of Jesus filling the nets of the empty and taking one like Simon, who betrayed Christ and made him into a disciple, an apostle. And our Father, we pray that we might learn from these things, that if the day comes when we lose our strength, we find ourselves weak, unable to go where we wish to go, that even though the body may decay, we can be filled with the Spirit of God. We can be full of life. Oh Lord, grant us the peace of the words of Christ, In Christ's name we pray. Amen.